for finishing the race strong and victorious, because Jesus Christ is going to come back for a spotless bride, a victorious bride, an overcoming bride. Amen. Not one limping along, barely getting by, bearing no fruit, but a very, very fruitful bride, I believe, in these last days. This morning here being Mother's Day, I want to talk about reinforcing our mothers. This also will be a message that actually will bless any single woman, any man, married or single as well, any youth that may be here as well. You'll receive something from this, because there's truths here from God's Word that I believe will be a blessing to your life. But I also want to impart in specific some wisdom to mothers, and also mothers that are helping out children even today, or even grandmothers also. We want to say again, thanks for all the folks who put this together for the honoring of these three mothers today. May you three be blessed, and every mother here be blessed in Jesus' name. And may you have a day here, you're being pampered, being spoiled, and receiving all the good things that your natural family can give to you, as well as God's grace as well in your life. Amen. So I want to give you guys some revelations here. First of all, from one of Cheryl's loves. This is also, of course, Cheryl's Mother's Day. I thought I'd be actually kind of bless her some way by the first point being about the thing called photography. Because Cheryl loves photography. She loves taking pictures, sending pictures, texting pictures, Facebooking pictures, talking through pictures. And so I'm going to just talk about some truths here from the very first point here about photography from the very mouth of a professional photographer himself. And give you guys some tips and some clues here about taking some better pictures yourself, how that relates also even to us being reinforced in our lives with Jesus God, with Jesus Christ's help in us. So the first point today, a take-home point to write down in your notes, in your bulletins this morning as well perhaps, and think about, number one is be willing to step into the dark. We must be willing to step into the dark. And what do I mean by that? Let's read Ephesians chapter 5 now. We're going to start reading here also in verse number 8, Ephesians 5 and verse 8. And this is a New King James Version. But it says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Now walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light is in all goodness, all righteousness, and all truth." These are all things of light, being righteous, being good, being full of truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. It actually means you've got to search out and find out what God accepts and what God does not accept in our lives, and also for Him. Then verse 11 says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." That's actually a word there in photography. We get a picture in the old days. We take the film in. They expose the film, and the picture comes out. And so we expose the unfruitful works of darkness. Then verse 12 goes on and says, "For it is actually shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light." Those things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes a manifest is light. So and understand here, first of all, again, it's important to realize there's some things of darkness that God may want to expose and bring to the light, that He might skim those things off our lives, remove those things from our lives, and let us not walk in darkness, but walk also in greater light. Now, the dark is where the definition comes from in the light. Photographers, and this teaching I received this last week here, I heard a professional photographer talking about her own skills and her own craft for the past several decades. She said, first of all, if you want to appear thinner in your pictures, what do you do? Well, first thing you do is don't get pictures taken, she says, head on like this. Take and cut yourself in half by doing this. And then turn your head like this. You're now half the size you were before. And then put your chin up to not expose a double chin, triple chin, or whatever kind of chin there. You'll lose weight in your face, your neck, your age. Then she also said, even kind of lean forward into the picture while you look up like this, and you'll be amazed how much better your pictures will be every single time. That's a free gift to mothers and all fathers and all of us as well that are Americans on the face of the earth, amen, that may need that. You'll be able to use that today for Mother's Day, amen? So she said, when you take these pictures head on like this, front on, you're like a box, but cut yourself in half and go sideways. Amen? So you can do that. But moving on beyond that, she also said that definition takes place when there's actually light. She said that amateur photographers, one side of an amateur photographer is they're always trying to put everybody in the most light possible, and sometimes even what she calls burning a flash in the picture. says that's a mistake as time goes by. Professionals learn more and more and more to use the darkness to actually accentuate the light and bring definition to the actual thing they're trying to focus on in that picture. The more professional they get, the more they learn, the more they use the darkness to expose and bring forth the light to the thing they're trying to actually take and focus on and bring out in the picture. We're going to see that in a moment also on the screen. And so as they progress and learn more and more about the darkness versus the light, they begin to take and see themselves using the contrast of darkness from light to bring forth more clarity to the picture, more focus on the things they want to focus on. And God works the same way also for you and I. Many of us also have a darkness inside of us that God may say, I want that thing exposed to see that thing out of your life. We do a very good job of sometimes coming into a service like this and covering the darkness up. We may have a problem right now today with depression, with anger, with things of addiction, or things, again, of a nature that finds ourselves going backwards and not forward in the spiritual realm. Those things of darkness, all of us battle with things of darkness inside of us. But the good news is God is light, and God will expose darkness by his light. And we have a great contrast to that, not to kill us, but to bring forth deliverance to us by the power and grace of his Spirit. But how many folks also realize that we do a very, very good job of trying to put on a light face? We're always smiling. We're victorious. We're saying, praise God, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus Christ. We're wearing a cross around our neck and whatever else there. Trying to show people around us, I am in the light. I am victorious. I am an overcomer. And all things are great in my life. But is that the truth? There could be some darkness there that God wants to reveal and skim off. Back again in the old days of the old cameras that had film, they had film that was actually 100, I think it was called, what was it called, 100 grain or 100 ISO. And there was some that was actually 400 ISO. Now, the 400 ISO and a 35 millimeter camera, the Pentax I had, would actually take pictures with no flash in dim light like this. It would come out just great. It wouldn't be quite as sharp and quite as clear as 100, but it would still be a lighter, better photograph than if I had no flash being used there for 400. Now, on our honeymoon 33 years ago, on May the 8th, May the 9th, May the 10th, we found ourselves in a cabin in Colorado that I'd booked there months in advance, very wisely. And at nighttime, it was totally pitch black around this entire area. We was at in this cabin in the middle of nowhere by Mount Ontario, by a place called Buena Vista, Colorado. And I had a tripod. I had a Pentax 35 millimeter camera, and I set the tripod up in the dark by the cabin with the lights on, and I left the exposure, I left the actual lens open for about 30 seconds. And when I actually got the film back developed several weeks later, it looked like it was broad daylight. All the lights were shining like a Thomas Kincaid painting. And though it was dark there in reality, it looked like it was actually light in the picture developed there. That's how your life and my life also going to be sometimes. It looks like everything's light, everything's good, everything's breezy, but we're using 400 film, and we're using a fake type of lens there. We're not letting the true picture come out that God wants to see developed and exposed for ourselves and sometimes even folks around us. And so again, the evangelistic truth is, for evangelism is that the world lives in the darkness. And your coworkers live in darkness. Your neighbors live in darkness. And sometimes you need to take and wisely expose some darkness in your life that they might be able to relate to you and realize you're not a perfect person. You're a redeemed and a saved person. You're a forgiven person. Before you give a light to them, folks need to realize sometimes, hey, I messed up. Hey, I was a scoundrel. I was a drunkard. I was a wife beater. I was whatever. I lived in darkness for many years of my life. But the good news is, the light is, Jesus Christ saved me, delivered me, and set me free. I'm not the way today that I was back then. Some folks need to see some darkness in your life in a wise manner that they might receive the light, because they can relate to the darkness more than the light. Then give them some light, because from that some light we're going to see today in this message, God can draw them like a moth to a candle and see them hopefully come to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in due time. Amen. How many folks appreciate about 2 weeks ago on Easter Sunday, we had some folks here on the screen in our own congregation that gave their testimonies about how they walked in darkness in times past, but now they're walking in the light. And because they exposed some darkness in their past, we don't take and belittle them. We don't shame them. We don't condemn them. We say, praise God what you did, what you were, and now what you are by the power and the grace of Jesus Christ. Amen? We're not here to judge and condemn. That's like Christ himself does not judge and condemn. He's here to seek and save that which is lost. There are shadows and darkness. And all of us have endured some things and experiences ourselves in our lives that's brought shadows and darkness to us. And the good news is God's given us more and more light every day we follow and walk with him. And the light exposes the darkness. The light reveals the darkness. And by our own will, the darkness shall be dealt with in Jesus' name. And like we sang this morning, the chain shall be broken and we shall be set free by the power of Almighty God. He is the light, and we are called also the light of God himself. But if you think about a lightning bug in a dark field, a photographer, this professional photographer takes a picture of that lightning bug. They're going to take and use the darkness to accentuate the light, like this picture right here on the screen now. They take in darkness and they bring forth the light. And what we see here only is the light of the lightning bug. We don't really notice the darkness at all. And that's what God says about you and I as well. Sometimes the darkness must be around us to expose the light that's actually in us. And praise God, Ephesians 5 tells us we are the light and he is the light of the earth. If there's light in us, it will expose darkness and cause folks to be drawn to that light. Again, like an insect to a flame. For the good, not for the evil or destruction. Amen? Moving on, number two. Point number two is God's work begins in the dark. God's work begins in the dark. Can I prove that? Look at Genesis chapter 1, first verse in the Bible. First five verses, we're going to read this. It shows that God's days begin with night. God begins in the night. God begins in impossibility. God begins when all seems lost. God begins working when it seems like everything's impossible and crumbling all around us. There's darkness, obscurity, sometimes total confusion even. That's when God begins to work. Chapter 1, verse 1, Genesis says this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Notice this. The earth was without form, was void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. So God began this world in darkness, not in light. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And then, what did God say? Let there now be light. I began with darkness, but I speak and I say now, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and God called the darkness night. So the evening first and the morning second was the first day. Then verse 8 goes on and says this. And God called the firmaments, the ground, heaven. And so the evening and the morning were the second day. The evening first, then the morning was the second day. Verse 11, verse 13. So the evening and the morning was the third day. Verse 19. So the evening and the morning was the fourth day and fifth day and sixth day. It says, and the evening came first, then came the morning. God's days begin with nights. And God works in your life also the same way. God works with night first, and then when night's there, God brings forth the day in due time. You're going to catch this as I go along here this morning. We are made in God's image. The Bible says this, and God's likeness. That means whatever God does with himself, that's what God also does with you that are born-again believers in Jesus Christ. You are now bought by the blood of Jesus, so however God works in his kingdom, that's how God works in your life through his kingdom. Understand that. So if God begins with night in creation, God also begins with night in your life for divine breakthroughs, for promotions, for changes, for transformations. God will always create night first, and then God brings light in due time. According to our giftings, according to our callings, God will give us desires to launch into what's productive for our lives again, but there'll usually be a whole lot of darkness first before the light finally comes in that thing that God calls us to do in this life. I want to remind you again, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18, we say this time and time again around here. It says here again, the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. That's where the sun's first coming over the horizon. Darkness is fleeing. Light is coming. And the path, the destiny of the righteous is like the light of dawn. It starts with darkness. The sun's barely glowing. A little bit of light. And then it grows brighter and brighter and brighter, it says, until the full day. Amen? God's days, your destiny, what God does in your life as mothers, as children, grandmothers, and so forth, begins with nights. But God brings light. And God brings light little by little by little. The son's path begins in the dark, and so also your own children going to college. How many folks know today in college, when kids go to college the first day, most of them have no clue why they're there? What do you want to be? What do you want to do? What are you majoring in? Most of them say, I am in darkness. I'm not sure what I'm majoring in. Not sure what I'm going to be aiming for. I just know I want to get my four-year degree. I want to go to college. So they're there in darkness. But I found that as the years go by, my own daughter included here today, majors change. Plans change. They say, I'm not wired to be a so-and-so. I really have a passion, I'm realizing, for science, for mathematics. I can't stand basket weaving. And so they change their basket weaving degree, praise God, all parents said, and become an engineer and work for Dell or IBM or whoever else in this whole city here needs these helpers for computer science and so forth and so on. Because they're wired, they realize their wiring is not what they thought it was. They begin in darkness, but praise God, light will come in due time. Someone's called to the mission field, like Kendra is here with the Metcalf family. When Kendra first went to YWAM, she went there in darkness. What nation will you go to, Kendra, and minister to? I don't know. I just know I want to be a missionary. And so she goes to YWAM, and she gets to get more and more details, and more quizzes take place, and more intersections start happening. And all of a sudden, God starts birthing desires in her towards Azerbaijan and towards Afghanistan, maybe Saudi Arabia, whatever else there. That's just how God works. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. It's dark, it's musky, murky, can't see a whole lot, it's shadows, but I see some light. And then it gets brighter, brighter, and more specific, and more fruitful, till the full light of dawn comes there, and then all of a sudden you find yourself flying in the things of God and bearing much fruit in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of you guys that are here today, you guys are creative folks. You guys are book writers, you're artists, you're songwriters. And God is saying to you folks, you're going to always have to begin in the darkness. When you write a new song, write a new book, you're going to say, I don't know what to write down right now, perhaps, or paint or whatever else. I'm just saying again, just take whatever God's desire is for your heart and just start doing something. And then God will start breaking forth light on you more and more for a beautiful painting, beautiful book, beautiful, whatever it is you create there, because God's gift is in you to create by the power of God's Spirit. Amen. And I would also say that women that are here, you have the gift also to create things out of nothing, because you can actually birth babies. You have no idea how to make a child form in your womb. That's God's job. Amen. You do the natural things, and God does the supernatural things. Amen. You can't form those organs and bones and skin and get it in the right position there to come out of your birth canal. Only God can form that and do that. And so God begins things for women also by faith in the darkness. But he brings forth something of beauty and blessing in the end. Amen? So there'll be a whole lot of darkness if you begin something that God calls you to, but a whole lot of light will take place in due time. Our own daughter Kristen, who's here this morning, who now runs our children's ministry here, has a great desire to learn. She loves education. She loves to read. And back at 18 months of age in South Africa, living there as missionaries, I had the front gate open by accident one day, and I saw her actually in the hands of a stranger in front of my face saying, is this your baby? And I said, yeah, where'd she come from? She was out there in the street, in the sidewalk, carrying a little suitcase, little kind of a lunch pail around down the sidewalk saying, I want to go school. I want to go school. Can I go school? Here at 18 months old, the desire was in our little daughter's life to go to school and learn, receive education here, and be a blesser of children in her own life there. And so God gives a pounding desire in us from sometimes a young age there, and it's going to come out of us some way. It's going to be confusion and darkness and obscurity at first, but God adds light to it. God brings forth focus to it, and God brings forth blessings and fruitfulness that are specific as time goes by. Do you see that? Your human nature tells you that your identity is around, perhaps, and your security is around your own house. You that are mothers need to listen to this as well. So now your security comes from your household or from your job you have or from the bank account, savings account. These things are all false security in your life. I want to speak to mothers today and say to you guys, God may have put a higher calling in your life than to just be secure only by your house, your job, your husband, your family, your savings accounts. Amen? God was going to put inside your heart some dreams that are too big for you to accomplish in the natural realm. And so I'm saying, mothers that are here, if God's put dreams in your heart, realize God cares about your mortgage, about your future, about your kids, and so forth, but God cares even more about a lost and dying world that needs your gift and needs your abilities and your ministry in their lives. And so I'm saying, don't put off forever that trip overseas or that book you're going to write or those poems you're going to write, whatever it is God's called you to do there to help out the homeless, help out needy women that are getting out of prison. I'm saying, don't put those things on the back burner too long, because those things are birthed there and put there by the power of Almighty God. And God says there'll be obscurity and confusion and darkness at first, but I will bring more light as you launch out and move forth in faith, says the Lord. One of our teachers that came through CF&I Bible School in Dallas years ago for us, he said, God can take and direct a moving car a whole lot better than one that's standing still in park. So I'm saying, start moving, get a light from God, see something that God puts inside your heart for desire, and start moving towards that, and see how God makes the path clearer and clearer and clearer as you in faith have a moving car in your life and do move forward in God's word. Amen. I want to also say here that you women that are here today, I hope you have a good husband who's actually encouraging you, behind you, complimenting you, and so forth, because women sometimes are like barometers. Barometers, they receive the atmospheric feelings around us. Cheryl can feel things in the atmosphere around us in the house all the time. They're like barometers, whereas men are more like a compass. They say, okay, I get your feelings, I get your desires, now here's the way to accomplish it. Here's the compass to make this thing actually happen. They'll point you toward the right training program, the right mentors, the right books, whatever else. So I'm saying we need each other as husbands and wives. Amen? One's a barometer, one's a compass. One goes by atmosphere and feeling sometimes and emotion. One goes by logic and by directions, both black and white in life as well. We need each other to make up a healthy family and marriage and mother and father dynamic as well. Amen? As mothers, you need to have also security that you can be a person that can be great without having to have all the stuff and things that temporal world can give to you. Your greatness comes from God and His kingdom, not just from man's security and natural things around him. Our society lies to us and says these things are the most important things to shoot for. And God's word says, no, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, what's right for you. Then all these other things like your mortgage, your house, your 401k plan will be added to you automatically, says the Lord, as you seek first my kingdom. I'm so proud of Cheryl back in her days of working with me in South Africa, her homeland. Durban, South Africa. This is back in the 1980s during the dismantling of apartheid. They were putting tires with gasoline around people's necks and heads, lighting them up and burning them alive. They didn't like the white South Africans very much in the townships. Yet Cheryl was still at my urging, in my direction, because she had a desire to do this. She was in those townships serving Easter dinners and lunches, cooking in the pots right next to Zulu women, and having no great fear about the danger to her life by going in and out of those townships as a white South African back in the dismantling of apartheid years and years ago. Every single Wednesday, I would drive her 50 miles to a place called Hammersdale. She ministered to little preschool children there. They were throwing rocks and stones at white men's cars and windshields. God brought us protection every single Wednesday, coming in and going out. Not one rock came at our cars. Not one bit of trouble there. And I praise God for a woman here who went beyond her own culture where she was raised at. I think there was such danger in those places there. And said, let God's desires overrule that. And I was her compass, said, come on, honey, let's go for it. Let's minister to these Zulu people here. Let's see what God does through you and through us in Jesus' name. And I praise God she was strong to do that and obeyed God's will. Amen. Last of all, number three, when God calls you into the dark, it will always end in something good. When God calls you into the dark, it will always end in something good. If you read Genesis chapter 1, it says there again, there was evening, there was daylight, there was light, the first day, second day, third day, fourth day. But also, the end of those verses also say this, and God saw the first day and said, it is good. And God saw the second day creation, and God said, it is good. Third day, it is good. Fourth day, it is good. Fifth day, it is good. Sixth day, it is good. The end verse, the end words, those verses always say, and God said, it is good. It may begin with darkness, obscurity, negative things around us, it seems like, but it always ends up good if God births it by His Spirit. Amen? Yes. To the mothers here that are here today, you need to remind yourselves that you serve the God of the impossible, the God who makes things that are not as though they were, and brings forth divine breakthroughs as only He can do. It's women in the Bible, who were launched into darkness in the midst of a little bit of light that God used to bring forth great testimonies today that we honor and revere to this day. Think about the woman whose name was Rahab. Rahab could see that God's hand was on the Israelites, a little bit of light. Somehow, some way, they're conquering the kingdoms they come to. And Rahab, by faith, the Bible says, she believed they'd be conquered as well by the Israelites. Little bit of lights, no details, no specifics, great big walls in Jericho. How could any man cause these walls to come tumbling down? But she believed somehow, some way, a little bit of light, they're going to conquer this city. So the Bible says she actually hid the Israeli spies, risking her life. And when they came back, they said, hang this scarlet Jesus Christ blood thread in your window. We won't harm you or your family. A little bit of light, a whole lot of unanswered questions. She obeyed God, the little bit of light in darkness. And we all know the story. The walls came tumbling down, and she and her household were saved. And her path got brighter and brighter. She was adopted there as an Israelite. She started serving the Jehovah God herself. She's now in heaven next to Jesus Christ Himself. Her path got brighter and brighter and brighter till the full light of day. Same thing's true of Ruth. She lost her husband, lost the seed bearers, lost her land, lost her house, was thrown into darkness. But she saw a little bit of light in Naomi. She goes, I know that Naomi's got a God of covenant. I've seen how God's blessed her life in times past. We've lost all things right now, and I see darkness all around me, but I don't want to go back in darkness further. I'm going to cling to the light I've got. I'm going to stay by Naomi's side. And the story goes on and says, in due time, she became the co-heir of Boaz the millionaire in Bethlehem, Ephrath. Her path got brighter and brighter and brighter till the full light of day. She's found in the very lineage of Jesus Christ Himself. She's the great-grandmother of David, the man after God's own heart. I can go on and on and on about Esther and about Rebekah and about Sarah. And all the ladies of God, women of God, had a dark, confusing, obscure beginning that God called them to, a little bit of light. Not a lot of light, a little bit of light. And they followed the little bit of light, and their path got brighter and brighter and brighter, and their lives ended up good in Jesus' name. It'll always be good. The flip side of that also is this. There's two ladies in the Bible whose ends were not that good. Their names, first of all, was Sapphira. I want to say it's actually Lot's wife. In fact, her name's not in the Bible at all. You always see there's Lot's wife, not Lot's, the name of Lot's wife, just Lot's wife. We know that she was going out of Sodom and Gomorrah being burned up. And God said, don't turn back, don't look back. Keep your eyes straight ahead like flint. I'm going to destroy the city. The Bible says she was so bound by the security of her own land and her own house and her own goods, she could not help herself. She looked back at her house, her yard, her goods, her security, was turned into a pillar of salt and died that day. New Testament comes up, book of Acts is here, revival's breaking out, and Sapphira, millionaire as well, her and her husband sell some land that was her security, her place of birth perhaps, land she'd had for many, many years, and they took and they said, let's take and hold back a little bit of the price of this land for ourselves for security's sake. Let's tell the apostles, though, this is all the money we sold the land for and get by with it. But the Bible says you cannot lie to the Holy Spirit. And she was struck down dead in that move of God in the Acts church that day. You see, again, she looked back at her security, her land, her house, the things that brought to her peace. The thing that brings us peace, hopefully, is going to be the Prince of Peace. You cannot take and cling to things like this and please God in your life at the same time. Amen? So, moving on. What impossible desire is in your heart today, women of God, even men of God? God is saying, only I can accomplish this. It takes place not by might or power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Let's look now at Joshua chapter 1, verse 4. As James is back to the platform, help me out. As James has come back up here, I'm going to read Joshua 1, 4 and 5. Because I want to say again, God cares about your mortgage payment. God cares about your education. God cares about your children's future. God cares about your 401k plan. God cares about all the details of your life. But God also cares about lost and dying people who need your gifting and your callings and your brokenness and your dying to yourself to serve them with your gifts and your callings in Jesus' name. Joshua 1 is where Joshua has now saw Moses, his security, die. This man mentored him. This man was an inspiration to him. This man was beside him. This man always helped Joshua out. He was always the front man for God. But now Moses is dead, and Joshua is trembling in his boots because God says, you're now going to take the place of Moses. And he goes, the man that parted the Red Sea, the man that brought manna, the man that brought the 10 plagues, the man that had this magical staff, I'm going to take his place. Joshua 1, 4, and 5, God says this to Joshua. He says, from the wilderness, notice it, from the wilderness and from Lebanon, the darkness, from this place, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and to the great sea towards the going down of the sun. What's God saying here? From the rising of the sun, darkness and wilderness, to the going down of the same, I'll be with you, says the Lord. It goes on and says this, this shall be your inheritance, your destiny, your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you, nor will I forsake you. Can you see that? God said, from the wilderness, from the darkness, to the light where the sun goes down, I'll be with you, says the Lord. You will fly, and you will not fail, says God. In closing this morning, I want to tell you guys one more thing to think about and ponder. Even maybe write this thing down as well. God is calling us to fly with wings like eagles in faith for the destiny and calling God's placed on our lives. Mothers, grandmothers, fathers, all peoples, there's a call in your life. I want to define this morning what flying is not. Flying is not the act of not falling. Flying is not the act of not falling. Many believers spend their effort on not failing, not falling, and they can't enjoy the soaring and the flying God gives them. All they can think about is, I don't want to fall, and I don't want to fail. You can't enjoy flying if all you think about is falling and failing. Amen? Flying is His yoke is easy, His burden is light. He's ever with me. God is for me, not against me. God is the wind under my wings. God is my strong tower, my mighty fortress. God is all that God says He is. And God with Moses will also be with me. And I will fly and not fail in Jesus' name. In closing in prayer this morning here, I want to pray for mothers, grandmothers, all peoples that are today. That if you've got anything in your life where God's given you a little bit of light, it's God's word. It's not presumptuous faith. It's what God said. That's all you need, is that light to go towards and to call upon God and believe God, that light becomes brighter and brighter till the full day. So, Father, I pray right now for mothers, grandmothers, all people here today, Father, who are going through times where there's darkness perhaps in them, that's trying to take and permeate the light. Drown the light out. Create shadows where they don't belong. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I agree, O God, this day. I say the path of the righteous, and I am righteous in God, is like the light of dawn. It will shine brighter and brighter until the full day. And I will end up in a good place, not a failed place, in the name of Jesus. I will not focus on falling, but I will focus on flying and on being up and being fruitful and doing what God calls me to do in Jesus' wonderful name. Well, praise God today. I'm going to make sure you guys, if you can, we'll beat the Baptist to all the restaurants. And I want to let you guys go in a moment here. But take this message to heart, because what I've said here again today has got spiritual truth to that. Amen. You guys, again, you realize that God begins things in darkness. God uses the darkness, but God also always brings something good out of the darkness, because there's always going to be a glimmer of light that God's going to shine, that you're going to go towards, that God's going to breathe on by His Spirit. Amen. If you guys can come back this coming Wednesday night, I'm going to be teaching here a one-off, one-time message here on the reason we go through brokenness. What's the good of brokenness? That's a very, very important truth for all believers to have under their belt. What about brokenness? Okay, so come back Wednesday night if you can at 7 for that. I'm going to go ahead and let Shannon take the microphone here to dismiss us in prayer. If you would do that, please. If you're a person today that is here for the first time, we have a little gift for you, a little fruit basket. Please get a hold of that also as you leave today as well. May God bless our mothers, grandmothers, all families here with a great time together. Don't forget about our fundraiser, delicious chocolate-covered strawberries and calorie-free, by faith, balls of chocolate and white chocolate and so forth. But they'll be a blessing to your life. Just get on the treadmill, amen? God bless you, folks. We'll see all you guys back here next Sunday, next Wednesday. And you guys have a blessed afternoon today as well.
Father, we come before you and we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for, Lord, the word of the Lord. We thank you, Father, that there's light in it. And we thank you that we are looking and expecting for your light. I ask you, Father, I plead the blood of Jesus over everyone as they go about their business today, as they go about honoring their moms. I just ask for a pouring out of honor to whom honor is due. I thank you, Father, for a great week in the Lord. And we just thank you. We look for your goodness. We expect it. And we're anticipating it this week in Jesus' name.